Blog Talk Radio.
With Sybil Brunchen. I'm her producer, Gwen Berry, and I'm calling Sybil in right now. We had a little bit of an upset here on the board, which you're getting used to. I know, it's so nice of you. And right now, I'm calling Sybil in, so if you'll just pause for 1 second.
The number you have dialed has not been recognized. Please try again.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Okay. Well, just one moment, and we will be there. Just have to...
Hello.
And... Well, not yet. What you have to do is hang up for me and dial in the number, okay? And I will put you on mic from the show.
Okay, for 323?
Yes, please. Okay. All righty. Oh, dear. So, 1 minute. Mommy will call in and we will have a bona fide show going on. And I should be able to fill the time with some better repartee, but frankly, oh goodness, we just didn't know this was going to happen. And welcome, Sybil Brunchen.
So we're on the air now, aren't we?
You are, yes, Mommy.
Thank you. All right, well, I'm going to greet all my listeners. Bonjour, mes amis. Comment ça va? I hope we're all ça va bien-ing. Tonight, I hope we're all doing well. That's Gwendolyn Holden Berry, my wonderful producer here on Come Now, Don't Sulk, and we're part of the Here Be Monsters Network or Here Be Monsters Production Company on Blog Talk Radio, and we're coming to you live from New York City. Can you imagine? Mummy is back in her own home, but only for a matter of hours. I have been gone, boys and girls, for literally months. It has been one adventure and misadventure after another. Many of you have been following my adventures on my Tourette's, on my Facebook pages. And yes, the Tourette is, it's a funny little pun. Thank you. You know, I've been doing them for years, literally years, and now even more on Facebook. And people are explaining to me what Tourette's syndrome is and, oh, coming up with, oh, so you suffer from Tourette's. And it's like, okay, yeah, I just want to, I mean this, and I mean this from love, Gwendolyn, you know I mean this from love. I'm Sybil Brunchen, damn it. I'm Sybil Brunchen. I know what Tourette's is. I was making a play on the name of that. It's meant to be a lighthearted little play. It's not making fun of people with Tourette's. And I don't need you to explain to me the origin of the word of Tourette's. You people must think I'm as stupid as a cow. I mean, honestly, I don't know why you subscribe to Sybil Brunchen on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. If you think I'm that stupid, why would you want to spend time with me? No, I get it. I get Tourette's. Thank you. Thank you so much. After all these months, all this footage, I've posted hours of Tourette's on these latest trips. By the way, I've been going from literally, for those of you following on a Rand McNally map on your rec room wall with your pushpins, I've gone to Minnesota, Wisconsin, both the Dakotas, both the Carolinas, Florida, Ohio. Where else have I been? Oh, my God, it's a blur. By the way, the Carolinas, first of all, I've had wonderful adventures everywhere. Thank you for asking. People are lovely. There are lovely people even in the reddest states. There are lovely people everywhere. There are non-threatening people. If people are uncomfortable with Mummy or her friend, George, they sometimes look at their shoes or they open their parasols or they fan themselves briskly, but they always offer a piece of pecan pie or they offer a mint julep or they up in the Dakotas, they'll say, oh, don't you know your special friends, don't you know? You're special friends, aren't you? So everyone is, there have been people that have been lovely. We've encountered no ugliness anywhere, anywhere. Interesting. Even in situations where we're in a shopping center and they've got guns being sold across the way from a snow cone stand. There's been no strangeness, knock wood, on any of these trips. But we have literally been all over the country, and I have been sending you wonderful little Tourette's. Some of the adventures have been absolutely bizarre, and I'll get into that in a second. Gwendolyn, I'm going to talk about a couple of talking points here. Is there anything you want to tell me about? Anything that you'd like to say?
Well, first and foremost, Mommy, don't fire the producer for falling asleep on the job. And second of all, I've posted the correct link for tonight's show as it's playing on your advertisement, first up on your page. It'll have the Blog Talk Radio cube of Here Be Monsters, and it says, come now, don't sulk. And it will be the correct link for this show right now.
So I posted the wrong one then?
No.
Did I post the wrong one on my advertisement? It should. The date on it should be 2018/10/02.
Okay.
Is that correct? Ladies and gentlemen at home, I'm sorry, we're doing technical stuff in front of you.
That's very correct. It'll go there and they'll see it and they'll punch on it. Yes, sir. It's a yes, ma'am.
Okay. Okay. Well, I think that I got it right because we've been doing this for a while. So I think it's going to be, that's the right one. So I hope we have listeners right now. I'm going to go back to my notes because, like I said, we have not broadcast in a few months for a couple of reasons. One reason was that we were on vacation, and that was the August. You know, that was in August, people go on vacation, they take a breath. Gwendolyn and I both needed a little bit of breather. And then I began traveling, and I think I did broadcast a couple of shows from the road, which was vastly amusing to some of you. I think I broadcast from Minneapolis at one point, and I can't remember what other ones, but then we had problems with the technological issues of not only the internet, but also Facebook, and Blog Talk Radio was having problems. And as many of you know, the internet has been full of bugs. One night, Gwendolyn and I were literally gearing up to do the show, and we both were being barraged with technical gremlins on the internet, and we were flabbergasted at what's going on. It's really interesting. Here we are in the 21st century, well into it, and a first world, quote-unquote, country like the United States is having the technological problems one would assume one would have in Haiti or Togo or something. How soon before we start having lights burn out? You know, all the lights go off at 8 o'clock at night, like in the Nairobi or something. Anyway, I'm looking at my notes. I want to remind you right now that Here Be Monsters and Gwendolyn Holdenberry, my producer, our sponsors are the DaughtersOfIsis.com, Fragrant Memories of Our Ancestors, and DaughtersOfIsis.com is online. Do go and check out their amazing products. They have amazing, amazing things that can alter and heighten your consciousness. And I should say heighten and or alter your consciousness, and it depends on what you're looking for. So do check them out because they've got wonderful things, and Mummy uses them all the time. I'm wearing some right now, and as a matter of fact, I'm actually looking for the new Daughters of Isis syringe kit so that I can begin injecting these wonderful products. I wanted to make Gwendolyn laugh. I am, as of the last airing of our show, I was writing for Fire Island News and for the Fire Island Chronicle, and I am no longer doing that, not because I was dismissed, but because the season ended and those newspapers were going all over Long Island and everything. They had literally hundreds of thousands of readers. I had a wonderful season. Thank you for asking. Shoshana McCollum and Little Bamboo. Shoshana's my editor, and she's not my publisher, but she was my editor there. I had a wonderful summer working with her. I hope again to be working with her next season. She lives out in Ocean Beach on Fire Island all season. So out there, it's already beginning to shut down, if it's not mostly shut down. And Fire Island is one of those, you know, strange, like Grey Gardens, Hamptons-y kind of resorts where when it starts to get chilly, everything gets boarded up and goes to sleep, like Sleeping Beauty's castle and forest. And that's another subject we'll talk about. I also was doing my Friday shows at Cherries on the Bay in Cherry Grove. And that was with Jackie Piazza and the entire gang at Cherries on the Bay and Uncle Johnny, of course, I'm my wonderful bartender. I had a wonderful season again with them. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jackie. By the way, I hope you had a great birthday this week. And my love to everyone there as they finish up their season there. Thank you so much for a wonderful season, and thank you all to my listeners who came and visited Mummy at those shows. A couple of quick announcements before we get any farther. The Lollipop Guild, Sybil Brunson's Lollipop Guild, is going great guns on Facebook. If you're on Facebook, please enter in the search window, Sybil Brunson's Lollipop Guild. It is a site, it's a page, which Mummy set up specifically to have only happiness. And this isn't because Mummy is becoming, you know, feeble-minded, but I've noticed that some people need a break. They need a true spiritual and mental break from all of the news and the woes and the stresses. And this is something that I set up like 6 months ago before the catastrophes that we've been having. You know, people said, well, at some point the bad news is going to level off from Washington and from the world. It's going to level. It's got to reach a peak and then level and stop. I'm sorry, folks. I don't know about you, but I think it is astounding that we are now at the top of Everest as far as the troubles go, and I see us only going higher and higher. I can't imagine what the verdict will be on Friday, and that will be the end of the world. That will truly be the end of the world. Do we have – I just got a beep. I wonder if we have a phone call in. Oh, here. I want to just say this. Really quickly, I want to announce that the phone number tonight is 323-784-9639. Have you got your Crayola crayons out? Pull out burnt umber or Emma Peel teal. Pull out one of my favorite colors is Emma Peel teal, and it's 323-784-9639. Call in, ask questions. Give answers, do anything you want, okay? While we're waiting a phone call, I'm going to just announce a couple of quick things. By the way, the Lollipop Guild is up and running. Please go there. Check out what it is. Apply for membership. It's free, F-R-E-E, run, do not walk, to the Lollipop Guild, Sybil Brunson's Lollipop Guild, and join us. People post recipes and photographs and stories and feel-good things. All of it is non-political, and I know Mummy itches to post something that will make people laugh that happens to be political, but I don't do it. It's all about beauty and happiness and things that make people feel loved and lovely, okay? Also, 31 Days of Halloween. Mummy, you know, it's the only thing I share with Martha Stewart. We both think Halloween is one of the best holidays of all time. Martha Stewart, because she was burned as a witch in many previous lifetimes, and Mummy, because I just love Halloween. I love its aesthetics. I love its history. I love everything. I have one of the most extensive vintage Halloween decorations and noisemaker collections that you've ever seen. I've been collecting since I was a little girl. And so I post every year on Facebook 31 days of Halloween, and if you go to my Facebook page, you will see all these little stories and photographs and storyettes, and you people send me photographs all the time and say, Mommy, can you write a story about this one or whatever, and I do. So if you go, I'm looking at my Facebook pages right now, you can go there and you can see the funny stories that I've posted, including the links to Sybil Says, where they are all listed. Just click on the glowing link. By the way, darlings, mommy's going to help you out here. Did you know that you could edit your posts on Facebook? That you can edit your comments to mommy? You can correct spelling. You can correct all that stuff. And you can do it not only on your computer, but on your phone. Okay? So you got to sort of be curious about technology. It's getting better. Mark Zuckerberg is really screwing up in a lot of ways, but the powers that be in the internet are making it easier for us to fix spelling errors, grammatical errors, whatever. So apropos of that, when you see a story, and I'm looking at one right now, Sybil Brunson, Sybil's 31 Days of Halloween, just click here. When it says just click here, you'll see some light blue writing under there. And if you click on it, it doesn't even have to glow anymore. In the old days, it would be black, and then you'd put your cursor on it, and it would light up blue, meaning that you could press on that. Now it's just automatically blue. When it's a HTTP address with a bunch of jumble behind it, you'll see some words in there and some numbers. Click on it. It takes you, it whisks you away like Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz, instantly to a different place. And that place for that particular address is SybilSays.com, my wonderful website designed by Steve Buscher. And then I have another website, SybilBrunson.com, designed by my wonderful friend, Yuri Kushner. And both of those websites are extraordinary, and they have different things on them. Yuri and I are going to be talking soon and putting new features on the old SybilBrunson.com one. But for right now, you can go to Sybil Says and get 31 days of Halloween. And there's multiple stories every day. And you just have to click there, and you go there, and you can go to SybilSays.com and enter anything in the search window, by the way. And that will take you all over the place. Enter Halloween, you'll suddenly have all 40 Halloween things there. Enter Who's Dat, you'll have all the Who's Dats about movie stars and stuff. Go, folks, let's make an agreement for those of us that are older, okay? Let's be curious, shall we? The young people around us aren't curious about their history or their heritage or where drag came from or how gays suffered for them. Young girls, 19-year-old girls, most of them aren't aware of the fact that women have not even had the vote for a full century. So they don't understand that the fact that they can even vote and that they can have, you know, the rights over their own bodies, they don't understand how amazing that is, because less than 100 years ago, they weren't allowed to have those things, okay? They're not curious. Old people are not curious about going out and clicking on a damn highlighted address on the internet. Judas Priest, you're 70 years old and you haven't figured out how to drag your damn cursor over that and click on it? Click on it, asswipe, and see what's there. I'm sick of people being boring and going, I don't know what that was. The blue writing. I'm gonna get lost. Okay, bye bye. Click on those and see the stories on Sybil Says. And there's one here with a wonderful, scary little girl who looks like a zombie Betty Davis. Read the story. There's another one called An Attractive Smile. There's another one called A Halloween Holdup. These are Sybil Brunson stories. And you know, here's Halloween Game Time. They're all there. Halloween Shopper Update. So check them out. I'm posting new ones every day. It'll be 31 days of Halloween, and you'll see all sorts of new stories on all my Facebook pages. And you can go right over to Sybil Says and read not only them, but you can read all this stuff there. That's becoming the repository of my writing. And I know I'm barraging you with information. I have a piece of information that I haven't even told Gwendolyn. And that is this. Facebook has continued to... Facebook has continued to have problems. This past week, we found out that someone had hacked into it and that 90 million people had possibly been exposed and that certainly 50 were compromised. And I was one of them. I was in Florida, and sure enough, I couldn't figure out why by the pool. I had to re-sign in and log in, and I had forgotten my my password. I have like 30 passwords for all these different things. So I had to run to the hotel room, get out my hotspot, look up password file, pull out my password, enter it in, and lo and behold, on the evening news, it was revealed that Facebook had been compromised yet again. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I you know, let Mark Zuckerberg have it. And, of course, somebody, some naysayer said, well, Sylvia, you can't blame Mark Zuckerberg. They said, yeah, he's not responsible. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is where I stand. Mark Zuckerberg goes to a damn Starbucks. He orders a latte, and he expects the cashier to get it right, lodge it in, give him the right change, or swipe his card correctly. He then expects the barista to hand him the correct beverage with a smile and a thank you for shopping with us. Okay? Those people are making $3 an hour or whatever. Okay? He goes to the bank. He talks to a teller. He expects a teller who's making $7 an hour to be courteous and to get the stuff right. When he goes to a brain surgeon, he expects washed hands and a sharp scalpel and a friendly and professional staff standing around him as his brain is operated on. Mark Zuckerberg moves through the world, he and his wife, expecting people to do their jobs. Well, he's a billionaire, and I expect him to do the billionaire job correctly. Okay? I'm paying him in some way or another, even if it's, you know, being duped into the advertising stuff and buying those products, whatever is supporting him, we are participating in that. And I expect him, like I expect our president and all sorts of other rich white men, to do their job. Okay? I don't want to find out that my name has been sold to some British crap bag and used in an election improperly. I don't want to find out that my name is in Russia. I don't want to find out that I've been hacked by some spoiled 11-year-old in Atlanta, Georgia, who thinks it's funny to, you know, just send a virus or something into a major corporation. I don't want to have those problems. Do your job. Okay? That's as simple as that. Back to what I was talking about. I got off on such a tangent, I've lost my way, but that's okay. I don't care. I've got the Silent Walkers by here holding their mouth and laughing and agreeing. Oh, Gwendolyn, are there people in the studio tonight?
Yes, they are. They actually roused me from my bed.
Well, I'm glad. And if they want to jump in and scream, you know, out questions or anything. Anyway, I can't remember where I was going with that. I'm sorry. I've got to keep my notes even clearer. But anyway, the bottom line is that that's been going on. And I had a point to make. Someone call in and get Mummy back on track. I want to just – oh, 31 Days of Halloween. Yes, that's what I was doing. So 31 Days of Halloween, please go click on those things. I see the analytics, and I know who's doing it now. I know where I was going after that. We have a contest, and we have a contest every month, and it's called the Share the Love Contest on Facebook, and this is how it works. On Facebook, and I have all those pages, any of those pages, you could do the Lollipop Guild or my professional page or my personal page. All you need to do is the Share the Love is you share any single thing you see on my page, anything. Recipes, anecdotes, funny film clips, a Tourette, share them with your friends. It comes up on my feed. So-and-so shared this thing, and I usually have time to thank you. Most of you know that Mummy thanks people, and if I haven't thanked you, it means just because I've been traveling so much. As a matter of fact, I was in Florida, you know, yesterday and flew in last night and whatever. So, and I'm flying back out again this week. So I've been traveling nonstop and living out of suitcases and hotels, and I don't always have time to thank every one of you. I hope that you know that I will catch up on that. But when you share one of my things, your name is written on a raffle ticket, and that raffle ticket goes in a drum in our studio. And at the end of the month, okay, 30 days has September, April, June, and November. Yesterday, we went to our raffle drum, and we did it at midnight. And we turned the raffle drum, and the more times you share a thing to your friends, a Facebook Sybil Brunchen thing, the more times your name goes in the drum. So some of you share things all the time and your names have gone in, and I draw a ticket at the end of the month. And our past winners, for instance, and I'm sure they're listening tonight, have been Mary Jane Nielsen of the Bronx and Ann Lydia Gelbert of Connecticut and Peggy Roche of Arizona and Miguel Moya of New York. And our winner for September 2018, I hope he's listening tonight, is Stephen Michael Roussos of Kentucky. Stephen Michael Roussos of Kentucky has won, and he will now go to the Zazzle.com page where all of Sybil Brunchen products are being sold, T-shirts and coffee cups and surgical outfits and all sorts of different strange things, personal bladder control products, all sorts of things there on Zazzle with Sybil Brunchen's image on it, and he will pick out his Sybil Brunchen prize, and we, the Sybil Brunchen Company, will finance that and send it directly to him. So congratulations to all our past winners and to Stephen Michael Roussos of Kentucky. He needn't call in if he doesn't want to, but if he is there, I love those old I Love Lucy episodes. You've got to call in within the next 20 minutes. You don't have to. I will contact him tonight and let him know that he can go to Zazzle, as should all of you, Zazzle.com. Enter Sybil Brunchen there and see all the fun and funny prizes and products there, including the I Want You poster. Next, Election Day, November 6th. It is literally a month and a few days away. Okay, November 6th. Election Day. Do I need to say any more? I'm going to tell you something. That, by the way, I'm fighting off a cold. For those of you that are wondering what that sniffling is and why Mommy sounds like a man tonight, but that's another story another time. Election Day. 2018, I had some very dear friends who said, well, I don't really like Hillary Clinton. I'm going to vote for Bernie Sanders. And that's fine. That's fine. Okay. And I don't like any of them. I'm not going to vote at all. Okay. That is a deal breaker. That's a deal breaker. I don't need to tell you that the last 2 years, the last year, the last 6 months, the last month, and this past week, this, as I said, has become it's the Mount Everest of stresses and injustices and grotesqueness. We are living in Caligula's Rome. Did any of you ever see I, Claudius, the wonderful I, Claudius series on PBS done 30 years ago? It was made for $11. The sets are hysterical. They're cardboard. And the costumes are forlorn. But the actors, major act, Derek Jacobi, John Hurt, it goes on and on and on. The British royalty of stars on there. You must watch that. We are in Caligula's Rome. And so I want you to remember to vote. We have a caller, and I'm going to take that caller right now. Gwendolyn, I'm ready for my caller. Who is it?
I don't know. It's area code 916. Your open mic caller.
Hi, Sybil.
Hello. Hello. Who is it?
I sure enjoying your show. This is Richard calling.
Richard, how are you? Calling from the left coast.
Calling from the left coast and hearing greeting about your travels, enjoying your tourettes very much.
Hello.
We haven't come to the left coast yet. We're trying to. There is a chance that Mommy will be coming to Los Angeles in the next 30 days or so. So, and I will let you know if we're coming there or where we're going. You're in
Sacramento. Wonderful, marvelous.
Are you in
Sacramento?
Wonderful,
marvelous. Yeah, but you know what? We saw something so incredible, a debut of a show 2 weeks ago. Or last week, it was Maria Callas in concert, and they projected a hologram of Maria Callas, a three-dimensional hologram on the stage. And
your
she
wife,
was
Jan, sent it to me. I was flabbergasted. Absolutely
it was
flabbergasted.
Amazing. It was an amazing thing to see. We really enjoyed it. It was really amazing. But I have a question for you that I've always wondered.
Yeah.
When you were talking earlier about the people send you pictures and you write stories and make comments and things like that when people send you photographs.
Or captions or stuff. You know, they ask me to write captions or stories, yeah.
But then when you write your stories sometimes, I mean, one of my favorite ones was the one with the two little kids and the horse with their backs to the sunset.
It's a girl.
Oh, Richard, I have to interrupt you. I love you. But Richard, for you to have, of all of the stories, and there's like 1,000 of them, that you would latch onto that. That is one of my favorite stories of all. And it happens to be a picture of a little girl sitting with a dog and a horse. Yes, on
that's
a dirty
the one.
Road.
That's the
road.
One. That's the one. I think.
Yeah.
But I was wondering, how do you create, just in a word, are you motivated to write these things? Is it just kind of a switch goes off and you just start typing, or do you look at it? Do you visualize? I mean, what is the process that you come up with that for these wonderful, wonderful stories that you tell us?
It's funny that you ask that question, because I have a bunch of questions in front of me that people have been sending me on Facebook and everything, saying, the next time you're on the air, would you please answer this? Would you please answer this question? And that question, how do I write those stories, and how long does it take, and what is involved? And
right.
This is how it works. And I'm going to try and tell you without getting emotional. When I was very little, my upbringing was somewhat sketchy. And I would escape by going into a large sandbox in my backyard. And I would go there, and it was in the back corner of our yard, and it was like very removed. And I would go in there, and I would take blocks, or I would take things that were not necessarily toys, and I would build cities and highways and roads and cliffs. And I would make up stories involving volcanoes erupting, or the gangsters chasing people, or all adventures. And children who were neighbors would often show up, especially because I would do that in the late afternoon as the sun was setting. And I would do that, and I would get citronella candles and put them around in the sandbox and light them. And then that would be the lighting, and I would tell them. They would say, tell us a story, and I would tell a story. And I was a storyteller from very young. And I don't know where the stories came from, Richard, but all I can tell you is that it reminded me, later in life, when Out of Africa came on, and Robert Redford and Michael Kitchen asked Meryl Streep at over dinner to tell them a story. And it was a tradition. He knew that she could do that. And so they gave her the first sentence. And there was a house on Formosa Street or whatever. There's a great scene by candlelight in that movie. And she begins with they give her the first sentence, and she tells them a story. And there's this beautiful montage of music and the camera panning and everything. And she's weaving this magical spell, you know, after dinner at the table with the candles going. And she finishes the story, and they both sit there thunderstruck that she has made up a story. Okay, that is how I've always been. I don't know why that is. I don't know why. I can tell you that Albert Finney's performance in The Dresser, when he was playing King Lear, at one point in that movie, he comes off stage and he's trying to tell some people what happened to him that night. He didn't know his next line because he was living as King Lear. There's this weird thing that happens, and I know that it's happened to you. As a performer, there are times where you're in the zone. There are nights where you give very nice performances, and you're very good, and you feel nice, and the audience feels nice, blah, blah, blah. But there are nights where you leave yourself, and you become like a tuning fork, or you become like a laser beam. Everything is focused.
You become a conduit.
Down. Yes, a conduit.
A conduit to a higher force, almost, of this energy that it's. And like you say, we don't know. We can't analyze it. It's part of the magic of what makes creativity so wonderful. It's a magic.
Yes, and it's especially. I have been an actor, so I have spoken other people's lines, and
sure.
There is a special thing there, and that's very good. An interpretive artist. It has sometimes that feeling, as did Albert Finney in The Dresser. He talked
right,
about
sure.
that. He was becoming Lear. He became Lear and didn't need to know what his next line was, nor was he afraid. So I think there are nights where you are playing the piano, as for
sure.
You're playing Gershwin, and you may, if you really tried to screw yourself up, would say, "Dear God, I don't know what the next notes are." And
that's right.
Then you stop that. You stop and you say, "No, I don't need to know that. I am Gershwin. I am Gershwin's expression right now, and
that's
I will
right.
simply continue in the Gershwin thing." Because I don't need to think about, what, did I memorize that line? Am I really in the importance of being honest?
Am I really playing
Rhapsody in Blue?
Absolutely. But the thing about that, all of that, is that can only be accomplished, that what you're talking about can only be accomplished through incredible preparation and hard work and discipline, and to be able to let yourself go in a way that's focused, like you're speaking of. And you have to be prepared, and not just for that moment, but you've been developing your talents and telling stories your whole life. It goes back to your childhood. This was your passion. This was what your talent, one of your many talents. And I'm sure you've developed it. It's gotten better through the years. Am I correct?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Yes, 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 yes. But it's a different journey than my interpretive journey, and that's even spookier because I didn't know I could write, really. I didn't sit down and write things, mostly. I just would perform, and that's why I was very good at Studio 54 and The Limelight, and I worked for Steve Bell.
Right,
because I was
right,
good at improv.
Improv,
yes,
okay.
I was improv, so I was creative. I was not interpretive, I was creative.
This
is the spooky thing about the story that I'm glad you asked me this, because it's going into a nightclub act. It's going to go into a memoir show.
Oh,
I tried many years ago to sit down and write, and I've had a pen and paper, and I would try and write. And my dear friend, I hope Eileen Shaw is listening tonight, and Rick Cook, and my dear friend Michael Margulies, who is gone now, but Michael used to say, "Why aren't you writing? Why aren't you writing?" And I tried, and this is the funny thing: my brain moved faster than my hand could across the paper. Consequently, as I tried to write, it was as if I was limping behind my imagination. Is that a good image? I was limping behind my imagination.
Could you talk into a microphone instead?
I'm going to tell you that. So Michael said, "Well, we're going to stop that right now." So I tried for months writing, and everything was sad. It was just junk. And so then he gave me a voice-activated tape recorder, which actually now, with our technology, it was very modern when he gave it to me. It looks like an abacus from ancient Babylonia. It is a tragic product by a company unknown at that time named Samsung or something.
It was
it was made out of baked clay and had beads and cuneiform on it. It was just primitive. But it was voice-activated. And Neil Simon had talked about the fact that he carried a tape recorder around with him all the time.
Sure.
So I put it in front of me, and I would sit there, and I would begin to improvise for it. And my dad said, "See, you can do it." And he left. And I sat there, and suddenly I was very aware that the tape recorder, this little beautiful tape recorder, was staring at me, waiting, tapping its foot, waiting, waiting for something funny, waiting for you to say something, waiting. And I had, amazingly, performance anxiety. I was suddenly pea-shy in front of a Samsung abacus. I was like,
what's going
on? And I couldn't, and so it sat there waiting for me, and I would say, "Are you on?" And it would turn on, and then it would wait 30 seconds, and then it would turn off, because I was, so that ended, and that was the end of that, blah, blah, blah. To make a long story short, I continued to perform all over the place, but never wrote. I did produce a show called Cafe Berlin, which ran for 3 years, but it's because Bob Gutowski, my wonderful co-author, basically was doing shorthand while we were writing it together, but he had to sit and write everything that we were improvising together, and I never, I couldn't do it.
Right.
I worked in the world. I went and worked in the world, and I became corporate, as many of you know, for many years.
Right.
And I typed stupidly. I typed stupidly on my box computer on my desk, and I would, index fingers, one word a minute, literally. I was terrible.
No ASDFGHJKL semicolon?
Oh, no. I was a mess. I was a mess. Well, I'd never had to learn how to type. My mother, when I was very young, said, "Oh, darling, you don't have to learn how to type. When you finally get in the professional world, our people have people that type for us, darling. Now run outside and play. That's my mother's attitude, because my mother would never have believed that the world would be run eventually by typing. When you have to remember, I'm old, and when I was young, only women secretaries typed. Nobody typed. Nobody was going to learn how to type. That was crap. Typing was not. No one knew that such a strange little talent or technique would rule the world. That's a fluke.
Yeah, really.
That's a fluke from the computer. The computers, it's like saying needlepoint on another planet was a hobby, and then because of the way their technology unfolded, everyone needed to do needlepoint to communicate and to send satellites into outer space. It's like, what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
How is that possible? So this is the story. I was at my job, and I was typing forlornly, and that was fine. I was doing a lot of writing for marketing stuff and for promotional stuff, but I was clunky. I was laid off with 400 other people one week, and that was about the eighth time that it happened. It was the great avalanche after the 2008 crash, and I was thrown out of work. I didn't even own a computer at that time. So if I wanted to bid on something on eBay, I would have to go to a laundromat or to a cafe that had a little counter
with computers
on it, right? It's because no one had laptops yet.
Right,
well, when I lost my job, my wonderful friends, Michael Easterling and Yuri Kushner, said, we've got to get you a laptop, and we've got to get you a website, and we've got to get you a Facebook, and we've got to get you a this and a that and this and that. And I went out and bought my first laptop. And I sat down, and I first of all had to learn how to turn it on and move the mouse and do the thing.
Sure,
this
is
what happened. As much as I get angry at Mark Zuckerberg, I owe my writing. And you all have to thank Mark Zuckerberg for Sybil Brunson's stories. You have to thank him, because this is what happened. On Facebook, they had wish a happy birthday option. And my friend, Stephen, Mike Easterling showed me. And he said, well, look, if you open this up, every day your Facebook friends will, their birthdays will come up. And I thought, oh, that's cool. And I began wishing people happy birthday. And one day I found a funny photograph of a child blowing out a candle on a cake with frosting all over her mouth. And I thought, I'm going to post that. I learned how to do that. And I posted, happy birthday, Donna. Happy birthday, Phil. Happy birthday, Richard. Right? And people began saying, oh, Sybil, that's the cutest birthday card I got. And I began looking for more photographs, and I began writing longer captions. And this is what happened, Richard.
Yeah.
I began doing that more and more. Longer captions, more elaborate photographs. And one day, George was in the bedroom, a couple of rooms down. And he was watching TV, and he yelled into the living room, what are you doing? What are you doing in there? And I said, I'm doing my birthdays, and I'm doing Facebook. He said, you're banging on the keys. I said, no, I'm just typing. He said, it sounds like a secretary in there. And I said, it does? He said, are you typing? Are you actually typing? I said, yeah. I'm still typing with my index fingers, but I'm typing like Lillian Hellman. I'm typing like Dashiell Hammett. And I was typing as fast as my brain could work. And so, to answer your question, I had at 60 plus years of age, 60 plus, I had learned not only how to type through Facebook, but I finally had a medium that allowed my brain to move my hands as fast as my brain could carry them. My hands became a speeding roadster for my brain to take me on journeys. And so I leave myself, Richard. I leave myself the way you leave yourself. Someone shows me a photograph, for instance, of Mary Pickford and that horse and that dog. That's Mary Pickford, by the way.
Right.
And I looked at it, and I simply leave myself, Richard. I just leave myself. and I look at things. And
are you in that photo? Do you see yourself
captions.
In that photograph?
Well, that's not what the story is about, but I suppose in all of my stories, isn't an author always in some part of what they create? Aren't
yeah.
you always in some part of the music? Do you compose music too?
No, I don't really have a talent for that, unfortunately.
I marvel at your ability to play the piano and to
I'm an interpreter. I'm an interpretive artist.
Right.
I admire
the musical, the fact that you can sit and do that, that you have perfect pitch and that you play by ear, that you are just, you can float in music. That is a language that I would give anything to speak. And the thought of actually being able to compose music leaves me dumbfounded that people can hear music and write music the way I write a story out of nothing. So, in other words, Richard Rodgers or Mozart or Gershwin could be handed a photograph and by someone on Facebook, and someone could say, "Oh, yeah, George, would you please write a song about this?" And he would write music in that language the way I write in English. And I would give anything for that. I would give everything to be able to hear music. I'd give anything to do what you do, which is to simply read music as if I was reading a short story. You can sit down and look at music and read it as if it's a book. I can't conceive of that.
I can't conceive sitting down writing a story based on a photograph. I can't do that. You know, I can't do what you...
When we die, Richard, do you think that we come back here, or do you think that we go to a place where you can write stories and I can compose music? And do we get to go to a place where we're all exactly what we want, everything, so that I could write stories and music, so that you could write stories and create music and play music? I can't imagine what it must be like to be able to sit down and play Gershwin or Scott Joplin, or for you to sit down and be able to recite musically anything that's handed to you. Yes, of course you need to practice, you know, pieces that would, but I could hand you a piece of music cold and you would say, "Oh, okay. Mhm." And you know what key it's in, and you know what to do on the keys on the piano. You know what to do. It would be as crazy for me to read a story cold and not be able to read it. Now, yes, reading it a few times and rehearsing, I might do a wonderful vocal presentation of it 3 days from now that would be better than my cold reading, as you taking a new piece of music and sitting down 3 days from now and doing it better. But the bottom line is, Richard, that you're a genius and you're literate. You're totally literate in music, so you can play music breathtakingly, beautifully. I sit in awe.
I'm a kitten
and
on the keys. I'm kitten on the keys.
You are kitten on the keys, pal. That's so funny. I stumbled, Richard. If I had not been let go, if my career hadn't ended, you know, disastrously at an old age,
you would have found this talent.
And that's a lesson, because we've talked before about what lessons we get from different things. Everything is bigger than what it appears. My message to everyone tonight is that catastrophe, and it was a catastrophe.
Sure.
I lost my job, an apartment, and I was diagnosed with cancer all in 7 days. Okay. We had planned to move, so we were already moving out of our apartment. Our rent had doubled, and I lost my job, and at the point where I thought I was going to have a promotion, strangely enough, and I was diagnosed with cancer at the end of the week. So that was a huge triple whammy. But because that happened, I became a writer, which my friend Michael Margulies never lived to see. And I'm not going to get emotional here, but Michael was as dear and as special a friend as anyone could ever have been. And he would have been so stunned to have known that on my gravestone, they won't put actor, they'll put writer. That's what my art was supposed to be. And I am not paid to write on Facebook. I have never made a cent writing on Facebook, but I have truly, you know, actors complain all the time about, well, the director made me do this, and the producer said I had to do this, and they cut the third scene, and they shortened my thing, and they made me do this, and the costume is horrible, and I hate my leading lady. Actors being interpreters are constantly at the mercy of a committee.
Right.
It's art by committee. You're not. Not until you play with an orchestra.
Thank God I'm not, yeah.
Yeah, you're a soloist. But
that's right.
If you go with an orchestra, just like a ballet dancer in a company or an actor on a stage, it's art by committee, and that is brutal.
True. That is brutal.
I may not have been paid. I may not have made fortunes with my writing. I may never get to produce my book or my several books. I may not get to do that. But I've done something that most artists never get to do. I get to create any time of the day or night, any day of the year, what I want, as I want, with no one nibbling or editing or futzing or fuming or snarking. I get to simply flow out of myself onto the page and be my truest expressive artist. And folks at home,
Emil, that really means something to us.
I wish all of you that completion, because when I die, which is unfortunate but necessary, as they say in that wonderful line that Katharine Hepburn says in Lion in Winter, and when you die, which is unfortunate but necessary, when I die, which is unfortunate but necessary, whatever you do, don't mourn for me at not having been an artist free and clear. As free and clear as an artist, I got to do my truest self before I died. And I could do it 24 hours a day. I could do it in the hottest weather and the coldest weather. I could do it on New Year's Eve instead of going to a party. I could do it on Christmas morning instead of opening presents. I got to be the truest version of me again and again and again. And it's been 7 years now. It's been 7 years of writing. Hands are a perfect vehicle for my
brain. You found your God-given passion and developed it, and what you love more than anything. This is you. This is your soul pouring out.
But through the back door, by the way. Through the back door.
Yeah, well, that's what you said.
What I mean by that is that it was a fluke. The mansion was built. Everything was planned. Dinner was on the table, and suddenly I was kicked out of the house. And it was like, okay. And because of those setbacks, I got to stumble into my victory. And I want everyone at home to know that sometimes that can happen. And that's why your upbringing, which you've talked about, is you are the artist because of the bad stuff. You're the artist because of the bad
stronger,
stuff.
Stronger people gives us more insight into life.
Well, the Greeks believed, they said, people, they believed that one's character was improved and strengthened and enlarged through bad stuff, not through good stuff. Good stuff merely is like having a nice day. It's like, that reinforced me. I had a wonderful day at my waiter job, and the manager said I did a good job, and it handed me an extra $5. Well, that doesn't teach you anything. I mean, you're told. But what about the day when he's in a bad mood for no reason, and the customers are rude, and they've had a car accident, and they come in and they don't tip you because they're cranky? You learn through mishaps. You improve and enlarge through the things that challenge and vex us. And I stumbled into who I really am because of a massive setback. My cancer made me better. My loss made me better. The fact that I buried 98% of my friends made me better. The fact that Michael Margulies is gone made me better. The fact that my parents weren't nice to me made me better. The fact that my baby sister died of cancer recently made me better. The fact that my brother is a religious fanatic and a white supremacist in Nowheresville, Ohio, makes me better. I am better. I am better because Donald Trump is sitting on the throne. I am better because Donald Trump is our president. I am better because of that nightmare Kavanaugh hearing. That sharpened my brain to laser sharpness. Forget the scalpel. I have, this past week, I have been inspired to write stuff and have done it on Facebook.
Sure.
So, and meeting you. How would I have met you and Jan if it weren't for my setbacks?
That's right. And you know, what doesn't kill us makes us stronger.
And you know what? That's on so many needlepoint pillows, and people go, yeah, I heard that before. But the terrible truth of those words should be Ben-Hur sized. You remember the posters of Ben-Hur where they, that thing where they would do the El Cid, all the Spartacus. There was that tradition of the movies in the 50s where they would put the letters would be 500 feet high in the movie poster with chariots going around. That, what doesn't kill us makes us stronger. Those words should be the size of Mount Rushmore.
Yeah,
that's
really
what
should.
We should be putting. We should do monuments around the country with great sayings so that children stop looking at presidents and start looking at that.
But all the bad things you're saying, all the setbacks and things, you instead of becoming bitter, you turn to love. You return to love. You return to passion.
Yes.
You return to love. You return to kindness. You return to these emotions instead of letting it take you down. And in the process, you become better, as to quote Sybil Brunson.
And bigger. And we begin. And there's so much more we can talk about that, but I just got the signal from our stage manager that I have 4 minutes to close out.
Wonderful talking to you tonight. And thank you for your insight during your personal stories.
Richard, thank you.
Appreciate it.
No, thank you. Thank you. You asked me a question which so many people ask me, and I'm so grateful to you to ask that question.
Sir.
And yes, so thank you.
And we look forward to many, many more stories.
Okay. I love you. I'll talk to you soon. Give my love to Jan.
Okay. Good night.
Good night. All right, we are back on, and I'm going to say a couple of quick things. First of all, I want to thank all of you for tuning in tonight. I want to thank Gwendolyn Holdenberry, my producer, for giving me this wonderful opportunity and this wonderful vehicle in 2018. I know we have a few months left, but I want to thank her and acknowledge her. Gwendolyn, thank you for this, because you're part of the miracle of setbacks. I would never have met you had I not. The domino effect can go for the worst things in the world or for the best things.
Mommy, I have to tell you that this show and everything you've said tonight is what the world needs to hear, and I thank you. I thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Thank you. Thank you. I would like to, and I have so many things I was going to talk about, but I'm going to save them for next week. I want to just say that our sponsors tonight, of course, are DaughtersOfIsis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. Run, do not walk to DaughtersOfIsis.com and see their wonderful list of products and do purchase them. They are wonderful. I want to thank all of the people that were. What's that, Gwendolyn? What's that?
Nothing. You're still running.
Oh, I thought there was some sounds in the background or something. We're going to talk about cold cures. Next week, I had a whole list of cold cures because Mummy has a cold right now, and I invite you to come in, call in next week with cold cures. Also, we'll talk more about Election Day. We won't talk about the coming decision on Dr. Ford and Kavanaugh. We'll talk about the after effects. And I think we should all be acknowledging Cory Booker and Kamala Harris. Those are two names that are going to be in our lives in the future. I think their performances over the last several months, and certainly this past week, Cory Booker, Kamala Harris, oh, brave new world that has such people in it. I have so much hope with people like that kicking around. I'm going to remind you to tell your friends to please share our posts and comments on Facebook, because then you might be the winner in October of the Share the Love contest on Facebook. And I want to also remind you that next week it'll be 8 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. That's about the change, I guess. And it's 8 o'clock Eastern Time on the link we post. And if you missed a show, go to Blog Talk Radio, enter Here Be Monsters, and you will see all of Mummy's past shows listed right there, ready for you to look at and enjoy. I'm going to sign off and say thank you for joining me. I love you all. Have a good night. Good night, Gwendolyn.
Good night, Mummy. Monday evening at 8 p.m. with Come Now, Don't Sulk with Simple Brunching. Thank you for listening.